traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I got to America and I met some people and I'm like, he said, you black? I said, of course we are black. He said, no, you black. I said, what the f*** you mean? One guy told me I look like under the bed.
Oh, no.
Yo, have you looked under the bed? It's dark as f*** under the bed.
I went to the gym this morning. We were walking down the street. It's about 3 blocks. And George was going up to every person and going, how you doing this morning? Good morning. How are you?
What's up?
And then
a car came by. I was like, hey, I'm walking here. But how you doing?
I go.
Guys, listen. I just been on such a positive wave.
So just my story, just put it in a drawer.
Well,
somewhere.
It's a little negative, Mike. Why don't we put it in a box, seal it, and ship it to Germany where he can open it up at home. Be like, wow, I'm so nervous and sad here.
Oh, my God.
And in 10 minutes from now, Mike's going to be like, David, get this. I'm tired. I can't. I woke up this morning. I run 10 miles. Listen, you guys need to get it together. Welcome back. Thanks for viewing, subscribing.
Thank you, George. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. If you're not subscribed, please hit that subscribe button. CTAs, call to actions. They're important. Without me saying that, there's a chance you would forget. So hit that subscribe button. Yeah, we're in New York City. New York City, George's. Insanely positive. You still an alcoholic from the last time we checked in?
No. And also, I don't think you could be an alcoholic if you could take 2 shots and be done. I think that's like just a lightweight. I realize I can't hang at all.
But
these guys can.
I see what you've done there.
Thank you.
The window washers outside the hotel.
That was good. That was good.
Nice joke, George.
But I do like drinking, guys. But I realize like if I take 2 shots, I sleep within the hour. Like
you're very fun for about an hour and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. You're so fun.
So fun.
And then you hit a wall and boom. I have to carry you home over my shoulder.
And you actually legitimately carry.
Yeah.
Me. Yeah. I love that, bro. You know, he actually saved my life on Runyon once. I don't know if anybody have ever told this story. But I was like on like keto and I wasn't eating and I did like a water fast and I thought it would be smart to go hiking and me and Logan sprinted up. He made it to the top. And when he turned back, I was laying like on the ground. And I just remember hearing you over your shoulder, like, no one's going to die on my watch. And he's just running down. I'm like, God, this guy's the main character. Fuck.
Yeah. No one dies on my watch.
None.
Did you drink another pre-workout today or is it just the one?
I didn't, bro. I'm sorry. I'm in a good place right now in New York.
Like I was saying, bro, every person that walked by, hey, how you doing? Good morning. Good to see you. And I was like, bro, there's only one city on the planet that you can't do that. It's New York City, bro. Like, dude, like.
They were happy about it. They were a little shocked.
No, they were happy
about it.
It was Park Avenue. You got lucky, buddy. Trust me. Try that shit anywhere else. These people are just trying to avoid a lawsuit. They wanted to do something very specific, but they didn't.
We got a great guest today.
Crime. Yeah, we do. We do. We have a great guest, but I have to be honest, Dylan, this intro fucking sucks, man.
Come on, Dylan. You know why it sucks? Because did you see the first thing he did when he came here? Walked right up here with a girl. I go, it's been 30 seconds you've been in New York.
Dylan, are you fucking and not doing your job?
No, that was yesterday with the girl.
Well, obviously you're hungover and sleepy because, look, I'll read it.
Where did you source her from?
Well, you know, I'm from here.
So. Well, no, but I see you like stand outside popular eateries and shit. Like, bro, he was at this place Scarpetta last night, and I'm like, oh, are you eating there? And he's just hanging outside, like,
oh, trying to get the straggler.
Just straight up with his neck like this, looking around like a pigeon. He's like, hey, 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 hey. I go, buddy, get the hint.
All right, ready?
But he pulled that trick, so I can't even
imagine. Can I go up just a little bit in the headphones? Tiny. Sorry.
Whenever you're ready, Mike.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Written by Dylan, our producer. Our guest today is one of the funniest comedians on the planet. You've seen him on Wild Now, The Breakfast Club, Coming to America 2, and right now you can catch him on stage in a city near you. He's the African king of comedy, Michael Blackson. Yeah.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, bro?
What's up,
suckers?
You know, you guys are like a bunch of singers that never made it, man.
Dude,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Like, old kids on the fucking block. That's your name. That's your group name.
Yeah. But you come in looking like you're about to do Thriller 3.0.
Damn, motherfucker. You got, you're like DJ Khaled with a concussion. Look at this motherfucker.
Another one.
What's going on, man? Goddamn. Last time I was in a place full of this man and white people, I was in immigration trying to get a visa to come to America, motherfucker.
George is I'm right there with him trying to get a visa.
Where you from?
Me? Yeah, I'm from Chicago. My parents are from
Nigga, what country? You like
Iraq. Iraq.
I knew it. God damn it. Y'all put me next to a fucking terrorist. Thank you, motherfuckers. I'm just kidding. No no terrorist joke. I love Iraq. Very beautiful place.
Oh, you got some shows out there.
All
huh?
the bitches. All the bitches' pussy is the bomb. Trust me. I know that.
Voila.
Well, this is going to be a great show.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Yeah, you got quite the outfit on, man. You look like a rock star. You dress like a rock star.
But you know, you have to, as a headliner, man, you have to go on stage looking like a rock star. Mm. People pay a lot of money to see you. They want to know where the fuck their money's going. Mm. So when you look at me on stage, like, that's where my fucking $100 going to this fucking outfit.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, I got my dress like Prince, Michael Jackson, all those guys always go on stage. And you know, you're like, damn, what the fuck is this nigga going with?
But you know why it's interesting is because would you go by comedian? Is that like a blanket of what you are, comedian?
That's first. Comedian is my first passion. I mean, you know, acting and everything else is second. But comedy is like, you know, is my love.
So this is why it's interesting, because like we're in an era now where the comedians are becoming the rock stars, you know? And maybe it starts in part with the way you dress, because you have crazy outfits, man. I scrolled your Instagram. You got like these big furry fluffy coats and.
But you know what, how it started? It started when I first started stand-up, I wore my African garb. This is like late 90s, early 2000. And then my comedy kind of switched up to like the Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor type. I started doing a lot more profanities and I went really hard. Mm. And when I started going hard, I said, you know what, my African garb is royal. It's too much respect in the outfit. I can't wear that and cuss at the same time. So I'm like, if I'm going to cuss, I got to wear that American shit. So I went from dashiki to Versace, motherfuckers.
And it worked.
Yeah, it did work. It's work. And you know, like I say, it's all about, you know, I'm fashion is what you make it. Man, I wear what the fuck I want to wear. You know, I don't give a fuck.
Do you wear that kind of stuff like around the crib too? Like, do you just be like rolling out of bed and popping into like?
Yeah, Versace? Well, yeah, I sleep in Versace, man. I wake up looking good. A woman spend the night next to me, she gonna wake up next to like a royal prince of Zamunda, motherfucker. That's how I dress.
Yeah, are you engaged or are you married?
I'm engaged. I have a whole fiance.
What's that like?
Congratulations, man.
No, it's good. You know, it was prior to me hooking up with her. I was single, living my life, and I enjoy being single because I had a 4-year relationship prior to that. And when I got with her, I'm like, listen, I've been single. You know, I like my single life. But if this is going to work, I'm going to need some kind of benefits, which was like I get one side chick a month I'm allowed to have.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Actually.
Dead serious. I talk about it every time. I get one chick a month. You know, I get to pick who I want to be with.
What? One time per month?
No, one, at least once a month.
If you didn't use one that month, could you get
you know what? We talk about that T-Mobile bitch, right? So you know, I even asked about that. Let's say if I get a chick and the bitch period is on, now what am I? I'm stuck with a crime scene pussy. Do I get to?
That's exclamation.
She said that you should have talked about it before she came over. I mean, you don't want to, when you're gonna be with a girl, you don't want to act like you just all about trying to fuck.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
So you try to just, you know, I don't get into that question and find out her period is on. It happened a couple of times. I got a whole chick with a period. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, dang, what am I supposed to do? Can I get a new September bitch? She's like, no. You lost out.
Where do you usually find your side? Do you wait outside like Scarpetta or like
me personally? I would rather have like 12 of my favorite chicks that I rotate
roster.
Than my girl,
roster,
like a roster.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Then
my lady, you know, she don't want to have. She look at it as a relationship. She said no relationship. She'd rather I go on the road, find a groupie. You know,
okay.
That's what she prefers.
She don't like the roster.
She don't like the roster. She want more like a.
Because there's an emotional strain.
Emotional attached, and you keep in contact, and she don't like that.
Yeah. Question for you. Do you, like, and this might be too personal, but does she's like, yo, get checked every month? Or, like, you're like, just.
Oh, no. I mean, that's one of the rules. I have sight. She gave me some side chick rules I have to follow. Yeah, of course, you can. I have to protect myself, and I can't look a woman in the eyes while having sex with her. Because you can fall in love.
Oh, that's the best
part. So I got to fuck the bitch with my eyes closed. Don't look at me.
Wait, are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Like, no looking. All kinds of crazy.
Have you tried even for like a split second, like, yo, fuck it, I'm going to open them? Like, just to see, like, open. I'm going to open my eyes for a hot second, see what happens? Like, what do you think?
I have, yeah.
Like, she just pops out of a fucking closet, like, yo, motherfucker, what the fuck you doing? You open those shits.
My girl has been there a couple of times. She want to watch sometimes.
Oh my God.
She's a cuck? Like a cuckold.
She's been there to watch.
That's
and
what it's called.
She spectates.
Yeah. And she's spectating. I'm doing it, and she's like, the condom's coming off. So she put it back on.
She's a helper. Take like two hands?
Like both, well, yeah, two hands and a foot, motherfucker. I'm African. And then, you know, and then she's like, you know what, this girl's backing up. She's doing too much, Mike. She's trying to create a relationship, Mike. Stop this one. Uh-uh. Girl, get out of here. You're doing too much.
Wow.
She's,
let me ask you, why doesn't she just join in?
Sometimes she do. Okay. If she like the girl, like me and her have different tastes. I'm into like a huge asses. You know, she more like she like the model type. I'm not. Into the
How big are we talking? I mean, because like Drake, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Like Drake likes a thick.
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't mean, you know when they used to say thick with two C's. This is like thick with like a lot of C's.
I like
the seven C's, bro.
I mean,
like,
when I hit it from the back, I want to hear blop 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 blop.
That's the longest Logan has ever.
Blop 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 blop. Blah. Blah.
Do you get like a time limit with them? Like,
It could be a weekend.
You get a full weekend?
I can't fuck.
Oh, damn.
A lot of time, it will be on the road. So, if I'm going to fly somebody in, it'll be like a whole weekend.
What happens if it's a holiday weekend? It has like Monday too. Does that work out?
Then we have to negotiate. I might lose a day the following month or something.
Do you pick, like, would you pick like, is it like white girls, Spanish girls? Like,
I'm an ass man. I fuck a blue bitch with a fat ass. I mean, it don't matter.
A smurf.
I'm an ass guy.
Ass-centric.
So I've had it all. I've had every race almost. You know, my dick don't discriminate.
Is there like certain things that you can and can't do? Like, you could only bring them to fast food restaurants, not Mastro's Steakhouse. Like,
that's true. She really don't want me to take them out, period.
Got it.
She want like ordering, you know, don't be out in public with this girl.
Hide them.
Yeah.
So, and they're cool with it. The side chicks are cool with it.
Some are, you know, some don't want to feel like they just here for sex. You know, so it's been tough. It's been a challenge. We've been going back and forth trying to narrow down this contract. It's a contract.
I'm fascinated by this.
Justin, you could get it.
How though?
Just feel like how long you been with your lady? You have a lady?
Yeah.
How long you guys been together?
It's brand new.
See, this is when you could negotiate your contract.
I'm not I'll there. Be I brought Michael Blackson to help negotiate something.
You see here, motherfucker.
A lot of athletes, a lot of my buddies that are NFL players, they're like, you know, Mike, can you talk to my lady? And I'm trying to help them all. I'm like, listen, man, this guy is a multimillionaire, you know, like, give him a little. He worked hard to get here. Let him give him a little present.
What type of chick is she?
She's a wonderful girl.
But like, what kind of like background is she from?
Oh, she's
like,
Cambodian. She's Cambodian, but you know, she understood. Like, you know, she's you know, I saw her there and we explained. You know, what my problem is. Keep my dick in my pants.
Yeah. You know? So you're just transparent and upfront about it from the
She's
start.
Like, yeah, just be honest. You know, she said, just be honest. At the end of the day, men gonna do what they're gonna do. So, you know, she's more comfortable knowing that I'm, you know, what I'm doing.
You're honest about it.
Yeah. Honest. That's awesome. You never know. Just be honest with your woman. You never know what you might get from being honest.
You ooze confidence, and it sounds like you slay.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
And I'm curious. What is so fucking funny?
I'm sorry. That statement. I'm sorry.
Which part?
Just like the slay part and just...
You don't think he slays?
No, I know he does, but then I thought I was sitting next to Tana Mojo for a second there. Like, I don't know. It's like, yo, like, you lose confidence and you seem like you slay. Like, girl.
Yeah,
like,
guys, I'm saying,
what happened, bro? I'm sorry. Shout out, Tana. I love you.
You get a lot of girls, from what I would assume. What's the biggest mistake you see guys making when it comes to getting girls?
Don't listen up. Getting girls just... cat paint. You know, women just want you to be real, man. You know, so many phonies out there. You know, be real from the door, and you never know. You know, women at the end of the day want an honest man.
But what if you're lame as shit?
A lot of lame motherfuckers out there, man. So lame. And then, you know, you might get some pussy, and then later on, you know, sometimes some guy just lie just to get the coochie. Yeah. You know, but there's some lame motherfuckers out there. But I'm older now, so I'm like, I just learned to be honest. I could be single and do what I want to do. So if I'm going to be in a relationship, you know, she might as well. She got, if you want to be with me, you have to accept all these things that comes with me. You
know? And I think there's like a lot of girls out there that, like, I think lame guys have a lane. You know what I'm saying? Because, yo, there's a lot of girls that are sick of the Michael Blacksons. They're sick of the fucking, we don't want to share with side chicks. We just want to fucking engineer. Mm-hmm. Fuck. Man. We just want like.
Traditional.
Engineering is a fucking great job. Yes. I just mean like we want a straight arrow. Like dude who and works a 9-to-5, comes home. We have our mashed potatoes and our meatloaf. Missionary sex, 22 minutes. Watch fucking Bachelor. Yeah. Go to sleep. Like, there's a lot of girls that straight up want that, bro,
but
because it's safe.
Don't get it twisted. You know, living this lifestyle is not for everybody. You can't be broke and do shit like this. You can't afford your woman. What the fuck you gonna do?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Another one.
Yeah.
Monogamy is for broke motherfuckers. Most of them. It's a rich motherfucker.
That's a funny line.
You know, if you want a successful man, most of the time, you know, it comes with a lot of problems. But I'm saying, go home, talk to your lady. Say,
no,
listen,
I'm good. I'm good.
You good on what?
I don't
need it?
I don't need to fuck around.
You don't need no side chick?
No. Bro, he can barely handle the one he has now. I don't think he needs to move on to the next one. Bro, I seen the way you talk about your sex life, okay? She's a beautiful girl. He can handle that.
Just tread fucking lightly.
I was just going to say.
Y'all guys do threesomes or whatever?
No, bro. Consider me out for this conversation.
Fuck,
I'm not there yet. You know what I'm saying?
Do you want to get there?
I don't. Truthfully, I have no
idea. I'll negotiate your contract for you.
If I need
an
agent for this, I'll hit you up. She suffered a sex-related injury this morning, ironically.
She really did?
Yeah, hurt her neck.
From what?
She turned her neck too.
Probably wondering what's going on.
Or like, why you came so quick, right?
I don't want to talk. I've said too much. I'm sweating.
No, listen, this kid's a fucking... He's like a lover, like a real deal, like fully invested lover. And like, he doesn't, when he's with a girl, he doesn't see any other chicks.
And
like,
yeah, I mean, you're a woman's dream come true then. Yeah. You know? But women always also want an honest man. So
yeah, for sure.
You're honest, right?
Very, very, super, yeah. I've been super transparent from the start. Always have, always will be.
Mm. Not me. I'm a rock star, man.
So how about you? You got side chicks?
Don't know where you're coming and going, my life. Nah, dude, I'm like super Christian. She ain't scared of anything, dude. She knows I'm terrified of Jesus. I ain't gonna do anything.
You know, and that's I'm Christian as well, and I know if I get, that's why I've been kind of like, you know, I know if I get married, I have to like straighten up, you know, because don't get it where I'm from. They have the whole traditional, you know, you could have like as many wives as you want from, you know, in Africa, you could. You know, but I'm religious as well, so I know that, you know, once I say I do in the eyes of God, I got to be right with God, because I'm more afraid of God. I'm not afraid of her or anybody else. I'm afraid of the man upstairs.
She actually told me, she goes, dude, she goes, I never thought dating a Christian would be so awesome. She goes, she watches how I make every move and stress out about like being a good person. So she's like, dude, I know when you're gone, you're never going to be worried about me. You're going to be worried about what you're doing right in your life. So if women want a good guy, get a guy who's
Christian Mingle. Christian Mingle, baby.
Dude, I've always wanted to join that, but it's just like, you're ugly. You're ugly.
Oh my God. So all Christians are ugly.
Joking, bro.
If you're swiping, that sound look more like Tinder, motherfucker. You sure you're on the right social media or the right dating app? You just did that. That's in a Tinder?
Tinder, yeah.
Well, don't all dating apps? I haven't been on a dating app.
I can't go on a dating app. Michael Black's on Tinder. That shit's like.
No. I was on Raya once, and that was the best date of my life. I got nothing. I didn't get anything from the girl, but I was on set and I was like, yo, what are you doing? And like, Raya's like, it's kind of like they kind of like you more because it's like verified that you got welcomed into the club.
Oh.
So she goes, nothing playing
it's
with
like
this.
A celebrity type. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. I heard of it. Yeah. Yeah,
she goes, nothing playing with this kitty. And I was like, damn. And then she sent me a picture of like literally a box of kittens.
Oh, she's fun. She's
yeah.
Funny.
And I went over and played with her kittens all night. Oh. It was really fun. That was my last date outside my girlfriend.
You sure?
Sounds great.
That should sound very recent, but I hope the Lord forgives you for that.
He asked for forgiveness.
Just had to confess.
How you felt about that whole Iraqi stuff? Well, it's Saudi with the golfers and all of that stuff that's going on.
The Live Golf Tournament.
Yeah,
is a tournament put on by the Saudis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some people. I guess the PGA Tour said basically like, yo, if you touch that tour, like you can't play on PGA anymore or whatever. There's a bunch of stuff going on with it. But then there was a big fallout too, because, you know, there's a stance in the States and in the Western world about the Saudis because of some of their practices there that people shouldn't be partaking I'm not saying presenting the viewpoint.
And I didn't like them just categorizing a whole country over. It's just you can't make a few people represent the whole country.
True.
Right, 15 terrorists does not make. I've been to Saudi, they're very great people there. Yep. You know?
Yeah.
So I didn't, you know. And isn't my dirty money, good money. The more money is the better money to me. Okay. Whoever's paying me the most is the good money. I go fuck his blood diamonds, money, or motherfucking money. The real, you know, I recently left one tour, went to another tour because, you know, it was two partners. I was on this one tour called No Cap. It was two partners. At the end of the tour, which just ended last month, it split up. You know, one guy was a good friend. He was the first promoter that came to me. I've been working with the guy for like a very long time. So he decided to do his own tour, and that other guy decided to do his own. And then this guy hit me up. Hey, Mike, you know, me and the guy broke up. He's do bad business. Don't fuck with him. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, but he had a new disc for the new tour. This is how much I want to pay you. I'm like, motherfucker, what the fuck is that? So you trying to tell me, if this guy called me and wants to pay me twice that, I should say no, because what? The guy came and paid me twice what this guy offered me. I said, bye-bye, motherfucker. Yeah. Bad money is cheap money, motherfucker. The more money, the better.
I think my thoughts is this. Every country I see it as is like their home, right?
Yeah.
So if I walk into Logan's home, he's like, hey, man, shoes off in this home.
Right.
I take my shoes off.
So true.
If Mike's like, hey, shoes on, we don't do shoes off here, then I don't put my shoes off. The thought process behind that is it's not my home.
Yeah.
I'm going to respect your guys' rules.
So true.
So like if I get welcomed into your country, I'll abide by the rules. Only thing I won't cross the line is if they're like, hey, you can't worship your God here.
100%.
Like, well, then I just say, hey, I appreciate the invitation. I'm just going to hold back on my own and stay here. But never disrespect somebody's country.
Never.
And refuse.
100% agree. In fact, the first time I went to Saudi, I went there to do a show for a prince. And this was about over 10 years ago. And back then, now they're pretty much open now. They're doing like live entertainment and everything else. But prior to then, it was everything was private, like private clubs.
Yep.
So we're like 5,000 members, and you know, and those princes all had their own little private events. And I actually flew. It was not too long after. It was probably this was like 2010. Something going on with the Middle East and America. Whatever it was, my first flight going to the Middle East on Saudi Arabian Airlines. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was a little nervous about it, but it was a beautiful flight. And before I landed, you know, I think I had like a cross chain on, and the flight attendant's like, listen, you know, you don't want no problems here, just tuck in your cross chain.
Oh, wow.
You know, because certain things are illegal there, like pig, you can't go there with a pig. Of course, it's
you think a lot of people try to do that?
Exactly.
Like, no, you leave him out of this. You leave Bubba out of this. He's coming to Saudi with me. You can't taste my friend. You can't tell him that.
I mean, that was the only thing that made me feel some type of way. But I said, you know what? Like you said, I'm going to their country. I don't want get arrested. I don't want no problem. I don't want no trouble. I like simple things. You know. I'm not denying Christ because I'm doing that. It made me like think, you know, if I'm tucking my cross away, just like the disciples, you know, when they came to get Christ, it's like, I don't know him.
Yeah, so denied him three times.
Yeah, I'm like, do that mean I'm denying him? It made me feel a little bit, but I'm like, at the end of the day, it's their country. Let me respect what it, you know, if I'm gonna be bothered everywhere I walk because I have a cross showing, then I don't want to try. Man, Lord will understand.
Hey man, so what's up with this Saudi thing, man? You just tucked me away like that?
You said the following.
Tucked me away like that, huh?
You said the following. The more money is the best money. Fuck this chain.
Yeah, man,
we gotta talk. I brought up Charlamagne too because you guys, there was a little bit of a viral moment with Kevin Hart on his show back in the day, right? Because of, what was it again? Kevin was basically saying, why did that happen? Why was he saying that you were like an Instagram girl and all this shit? You guys had like a major beef for a second.
Yeah.
He called you an Instagram girl?
Well, he said he was doing stuff for likes on Instagram and that.
Well, no, you know, as a comedian, man, you know, we make fun of everybody and everything. I don't pick and choose.
Oh, that's what it
was. If something happens, I'm clowning you.
Yep.
You know, and it was around the time, I think Kev was going through some thing with some, you know.
Cheating scandal.
Right, cheating scandal.
Oh, you jumped on that.
Yeah, but I didn't even jump on because we all fuck up. You know what I'm saying? I know I fuck up all the time. But I made fun of like how he came out and talked about it before he even came out. So I made fun of him. It was like, I just said he's snitching himself. I'm like,
self-snitching.
Yeah, self-snitching. Yeah, and I went on. The thing, I mean, I think he had a problem with me just going on too much with it. Because I mean, when I go in, I just go in.
And you guys are boys? You guys are acquaintances?
I mean, we probably weren't as close, you know, but when we started out stand up, we started in Philly. You know, I was raised in Philadelphia. Yep. He came out like 2 years behind me after, you know, and we was really tight back then. But, you know, probably prior to them, weren't we as close. We weren't like calling and talking to each other. You know, we see each other in passing and we speak and we give love, whatever. But I wasn't doing out of, I was just being a comedian. I wasn't trying to like purposely be an asshole.
Yeah, of course.
No, I mean, but then he took it some type of way, and he talked about it.
Went on Breakfast Club, talked to Charlamagne about it, and then then you posted about it, and it kept like turning into a thing. But
yeah, it went into a thing.
You guys ended up squashing it though, right?
Yeah, we ended up squashing it. Actually, it was we ran into each other at the Sixers game, and then we ended up squashing it.
Good.
Was it already like starting to squash, or like did you just saw like each
boom,
other?
And then conversation here and there, and then you know. There was like a middleman involved, you know. And then I think later on we later talked on the phone. Yeah. It didn't happen there. You know, we just kind of like had a short moment there, and then when we got home, we kind of like communicated.
That's definitely one of those squashable beefs.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad it was squashed because, especially with comedy, I think there has to be leeway for roasts.
Yeah, comedy is so hard enough as it is, like, you know what I mean? And we respect each other so much because it's a grind. I mean, it's so much easier for the new guys now. Mm. You know, all you got to do is pop up with a million followers and you have your own audience. Mm. I mean, we started out in the 90s, man, where we didn't have your own audience. If you didn't get on television, nobody knew who the fuck you was. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was the hardest thing is trying to get yourself on TV and staying relevant and with our social media. Yeah. I mean, you guys are new era guys, you know, so.
No, for sure.
Basically, we suck is what you're saying. We got followers.
y'all didn't put in no work like we did.
No, it was a dog world, bro. Like, there would be comedians that are doing really, really well. They just start to shine. And then the bigger dogs would just rip their jokes and put it on a special and just bury them.
Yeah.
It was a really hard time for me to be a comedian.
Yeah, 90s was tough.
No, we especially came up in a great time. Like the era of social media and internet. Like, I mean, anyone can do anything, right? Because you have that little black box that you can make a video and post for the entire internet to see. And I have so much respect for people who stay relevant for, you know, decades. Because we say it all the time, man. This shit is a marathon, not a sprint. In regards to comedy and comedians saying and doing certain things, did you have a reaction or take on the Will Smith slap?
Oh, yeah, man. When he slapped Chris, he slapped every comedian. That's how we felt. And, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, we was pissed. I just, because I'm a comic and I roast people on stage and off stage and on the internet. I'm like in the bully. I go in. Because I roasted my whole life. I came from a whole different country. Kids made fun of me every day. A lot of things I didn't know about myself till I got to America. I had no idea I was dark skinned till I come to America. You see, white people, you don't look at like a tan guy, be like, oh, you know, you're dark, or you're like, black people, they go in on everything. I had no clue I was dark skinned till I got here. I got to America and I met some people and I'm like, He said, "You black?" I said, "Of course we are black." He said, "No, you black as shit." I said, "What the fuck you mean?" One guy told me I look like under the bed.
Oh, no.
Yo, have you looked under the bed? It's dark as fuck under the bed. They told me I look like I have no bright ideas. They said the difference between me and midnight is 11:59.
Shut up, man.
They said when God said, "Let there be light," I was out of town. They told me I have to wear white gloves before I eat chocolate. No. So I don't bite my fucking fingers.
Not like this.
They told me every time I take a shit, I think my dick fell off.
Not like this.
Somebody told me Stevie Wonder. They told me Stevie Wonder sees me every day. That's dark as fuck. That motherfucker don't see shit.
That's pretty dark, man.
It's dark. No, I went through all the dark era. So, you know, I got roasted my whole life. And then once I started roasting back, I became like a roaster. You abuse so much, you find ways
hurt people, to hurt people. You know what I'm saying?
He said, I look like under the bed.
Yo, that's funny. I never thought of that before. It's like a lot of the big fueled like roasters and like people with that kind of visceral style are like birthed from their own trauma probably.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. Why do you think I have you two as friends?
Hey, whoa.
Whoa.
I love the roasts. Personally, I love being roasted. I love roasting. That's it's a love language.
It is a love language. And that's why I didn't understand why Chris got smacked. You know, and you know, I try to like dissect this whole thing. Like,
I know
so hard about
I know
that
the real answer why.
What was it?
I just talked about this on a different show yesterday. It's sometimes very easy, or not very easy, but it's easier to get roasted personally. And to take it and laugh about it and make a joke about it back, whatever. But when your family member or someone in your squad or your village gets roasted, this fire sometimes breeds inside of you where you want to go into protection mode, especially when it happens to be a woman. And by the way, I am no way justifying his actions. Okay. But I'm just talking about where that feeling sometimes comes from. Like somebody goes at your kid, somebody goes at your wife. Even if it's just a prank or just a joke, man, sometimes you feel that like fuel burning inside you. Like, yo, I'm going to smack the shit out of this motherfucker for talking about my mom like that. Especially if she's sitting right next to me. So I'm not justifying it by any means. I'm not saying he should have done it. But I can empathize just a little bit with where that flame comes from. You know what I'm saying? Do you feel that? Like,
I feel that. But, you know, it was Oscar where, you know, I think he... You can just flame anybody.
Yeah, of course.
Everybody's an actress. Everybody's there. Yeah. It wasn't about. I don't know if it was that personal, you know. But I mean, hey, Chris Rock is a G for, you know, handling it where he did, because it could have went a whole different way.
Yeah,
you know,
real.
I can't believe he just continued, bro. Got smacked out of his mind and then went straight into a joke. He parlayed his face.
I would have been the next day. I'd have been calling like Jacoby Myers. I mean, man, let me tell you, I would have sued Will Smith. He would have been so broke. He would have to move back with his auntie and uncle in Bel Air. He was going back to Uncle Phil's house and sharing rooms with Carlton. Okay.
Chris was about to go in, bro. There was like that one moment where
he thought about it.
And then he went, ooh. Nah, it just kept moving,
it wasn't
bro.
Worth it, man. I think we would probably forgive Will Smith. I think we all comedians line up and just smack the shit out of him one by one. By the time we get to the fat motherfuckers, he'd be knocked the fuck out.
I might sound stupid for saying this, but his ticket sales went skyrocketing.
Who, Chris?
Right? Yeah.
I mean, right, that's what, yeah, and dog, I'm telling you, I got so jealous. I think I'm gonna go to the next Oscar and grab the mic and curse everybody's wife the fuck out. Hey, Steven Spielberg, your wife a cock-eyed bitch. Please come slap me, please. I need some money, motherfucker.
It's good media.
Yeah.
It's good, yeah, people paying attention now.
Biggest moment in the history of that entire program.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah. But thank God the whole world sided with them, because, dude, if it was like a 50-50, and imagine your whole legacy of working so hard and then getting slapped as like the cherry on top of your legacy, that's kind of hard, bro.
I think how Chris handled it versus like going in on Will in the moment was another reason why he was so well respected after that moment. Because he just kept purely it gentleman. Moving. Yeah. Dude, he crushed it. He fucking crushed it.
Yeah.
You ever deal with hecklers yourself?
Oh yeah, I love hecklers, man. It's like my highlight moment on stage. I love that somebody say some shit. I got shit in my head, and I'm took a good look at them and their whole crew. Your whole crew. Now your whole crew got by and get you roasted.
Collateral damage.
Your whole family. straight bullets now. Your whole table is going to get it.
Do you have a story that stands out? Was there a bad one?
Because, you know, my fans, when they come out, they know what I'm capable of doing.
Okay, okay.
You know, so they just, you know, at the same time, too, I mean, especially after Chris got smacked and Dave Chappelle got an attack. You know, we beefed up security now as comedians.
Yeah.
You know,
I seen the dude in the fucking elevator.
Got a whole Shook
Knight with next
year. Yeah, straight up, bro. He's massive.
Anthony been with me for like 14 years anyway. Yeah, he's been around that long. But yeah, but it's nothing really strange happened lately, man. It just, you know, I get
not
on
with
stage,
that guy around, dog.
Yeah, I do my show and people get roasted and they just take it.
Yeah.
That guy looks intimidating, bro. He looks like he laughs like this.
He just did that when you said it.
He texts his laugh my ass off.
Y'all look like y'all could be brothers. Same beard. Look like Anthony a little bit.
Now that's great. Now I'll take a picture of you, and then when people start shit with me, I'll be like, "Do you want my brother to get involved?"
You're like the size of one of his legs.
Now it's been so. Anthony's yet to smack somebody yet.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's waiting for. He's waiting for that big moment. Just one time, he had to rough a couple of people up. You know, but nothing much.
He looks like the guy. Have you seen those videos where the bouncer just picks people up and moves them?
And just moves them
from
A
to B. He could get that done on a guy like you.
Yeah, easily. And I'd be like, okay, where we going?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Do you have people you look up to that inspired your comedy career?
Man. Of course, Eddie Murphy was my first guy. Yeah, when 100%. I first came to America, he was the first comedian I saw. And I'm like, this guy's funny. And I saw like Delirious and Raw. Those are his comedy specials. And then Coming to America was like ultimate.
Yeah.
You know, and then here we are 30 years later. I'm in Coming to America too. Such an amazing.
What was that like? Was it?
It felt so good. And how it happened was, you know, I ran into Eddie a few times in the last 10 years, whatever. All comedians know each other, even from the big guys to the little guys, you know. And I saw him, he's like, oh, you're the African guy. That's what he says. When you see him. And I remember TMZ ran into Akon and said, hey, Akon, Eddie's doing a new Coming to America. How you feel? And then Akon said, well, he need to get some real Africans in this movie, at least a couple of real Africans. And then TMZ ran into Eddie Murphy and, hey, Akon said, you doing Coming to America, you should get some real Africans in this movie. He said, well, I know one funny African, Michael Blackson. Mm. When you mentioned my name, I took that video, sent it to my agent. I'm like, hey, contact the casting agent from Coming to America 2. Eddie wanted me in this movie. And that's how I got in. I didn't have to audition. I didn't do nothing.
Sharp.
That's how I got my
That scene. Must be crazy that you're like idol.
Felt really good.
God.
When a guy you looked up to your whole life knows who you are and admire your work. So it was great.
Was that your first real big acting experience?
Nah, my biggest one was in 2000 is the sequel to Friday called Next Friday.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah,
of
that
course.
Was my big break.
Of course.
And you know, that was like, that came out in 2000. And when that came out, I just became like an instant hood star. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't go nowhere with black people. Every black person knew who I am. Because Friday was such a hit that, you know, I mean, it was great. So that was my big break. I went from like $500 a show to like $2,500 a show. I was balling the fuck out.
Do you like that Hollywood world? Because I found whenever I'm doing traditional Hollywood and media, just to hurry up and wait. The process is so slow, and you know, I also don't like not having creative control.
Yeah, man. You know, I kind of like give up on Hollywood a long time ago. I mean, I do my own thing. You know, I've never been Hollywood. I've always, from day one, you know, I've just did my own thing. I'm not a dick writer. You know, I just like, you know, I say I always believe in whatever's meant for you is gonna happen, whether it's meant to happen or not. And that's how I've been, man. You know, I let things happen on its own. You know, while working hard, you keep working hard, what's meant to happen for you is going to happen. You know, I'm not into that waiting thing. And now we're in a new era where you can produce your own shit. You know, I got like almost 6 million followers. I could shoot my own movie and sell it to these motherfuckers.
Yeah, facts.
Well, you do a lot of stuff on Instagram. You do a ton of Instagram.
I do a lot of stuff, you know, because I still want to grow my following. I do a lot of stuff with like those OnlyFans girls. I do a lot of skits with them because my fan base is like 70% guys.
Yeah.
Guys just want to laugh and see ass.
Yeah.
So I do shit with women and I just make them laugh. So I entertain, you know, majority who my fans are, give them what they want.
Mike hangs out with OnlyFans girls too. He does.
Oh, you do, yeah.
Yeah. I'm the only one in the group that's not in a relationship.
For real?
Yeah, I don't do that.
Oh, you just got a whole bunch of chicks. You just do your own thing.
I just can't because it's like I've never found a girl that would be cool with me doing what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, my last chick, bro. If I even like looked at a chick, she was up my ass.
But you see, know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's why if you know that's your problem, if you know you just gotta bring it up from the beginning. Hey, I like you a lot, you know, but I'm gonna need. I can't.
She was the number one porn star in the world, Mike's ex.
Yeah, still is actually.
And she won't let you fuck nobody.
Yeah, she retired. So she was retired for like 3 years. So I see where you're going with that. Because if she was
she
still current,
she wasn't active.
She wasn't active. Yeah. So she had retired. But you want to know actually?
Her coochie retired too.
It was still in great shape. No, it's actually funny because she actually texted. This is some. We should actually talk about this on a different show. I was gonna bring up a text she sent me today.
No,
She used to give me a lot of shit back in the day because,
in the day, like 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah. Well, we were dating because I am very, very outgoing and flirtatious. Right. And like just my natural like personality is to just talk to people. Mm. And she would always like kind of equate that to like me wanting to like fuck these girls. And I would always be like, yo, like I've been with you for a year plus. Like I've never hooked up with anyone else. Like, it's just, I've just been with you. So I don't understand where this feeling of that is coming from. And she would always give me shit. You know what I'm saying? And then once we broke up, she's now back like playing the field again and seeing what dudes really be like in LA, in New York, in Miami. You know what I'm saying? And she texted me today and she was like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, you really did do a really good job, like, when we were dating and shit. And she was like, I think I was like too hard on you. And I was like, yeah, well, wish you would have learned a little bit sooner.
Aww. I'd be like that sometime, man. You never know what you have till it's gone, man.
Yeah, facts.
You
know what I
mean? So she took that L.
Yeah.
Hard cut. Mike's like, guys, listen, we start working it out.
Nah, that ain't happening. That ain't happening, bro. That ain't happening.
You thinking about long-term career moves at all?
Yeah, I want to produce my own movies and stuff. So I'm actually about to shoot my first one. I'm actually redoing it. I did it back like 2010, but it was in Shotwell, and I used to sell on the road after my shows. Mm. I'm spoofing Scarface, so it's
sick.
African Scarface.
Well, he kind of like African Scarface, but I changed a few things about the movie. Like instead of selling cocaine, we selling illegal booty shots.
Nice.
You know, in my movie, in Scarface, he had a beautiful sister that he killed this guy because, you know, he fucked his sister, sister. Yep. My movie, I got an ugly ass sister. In fact, I killed my homie because he didn't want to fuck my sister. So look, like I said, I did it before, and I'm going to redo it now with a bigger budget and sick. Really put it out.
There. What's the guy? What's Tony Montana's name in the?
Well, his name is Coney, Koney. No, you know what?
Joseph Coney.
You remember Joseph Coney?
Of course. So
I tied it up was I made this guy. He was a kid soldier for Joseph Coney when he was a little kid.
You got into 2012, dude.
Oh, you know, yeah, see?
Yeah.
Right, it's Coney.
That was like one of the first ever like social media driven campaigns.
So that's why I made his history, because in Scarface, his history is like, you know, crime in Cuba.
Cuba.
I made his history is more like he was a kid soldier for Joseph Coney back in Uganda. And he made it to America driving a taxi cab and, you know, found a way to some illegal booty shot word or some shit.
So how are you producing this? Are you funny?
Well, right now, in fact, when we did this movie the first time, we didn't have no script. Yep. Me and my homie sat in my basement, watched Scarface, and just wrote scenes down. And like, we just want to change the scene, change all the scenes. And then we shot the movie. So now we watched the movie and wrote the script out of the movie we shot. And now I'm just trying to find my co-star. Like, I've been talking to T.I. He wants to be I'm in the Scarface. He's going to be the other guy.
That'll be fun.
I was talking to T.I. about doing it. And I just sent him the script. So once he gave me the okay, and, you know, then we'll make it happen.
How's he been? He's been having a lot of shit going on.
Yeah,
He's been having a lot of shit.
And he's been doing stand up.
That's where I seen the shit, right? Yeah. Someone was heckling him and he bit. I think he.
Yeah, he got in like a. No,
oh,
no.
Oh,
wait,
I was at the Barclays Center with him when he got booed.
Yeah.
He got booed at the Barclays Center.
Yeah.
But you know, T.I. is a superstar. So because of that, everybody that's doing a show wants to invite him to come and do stand up. And I'm like, at the same time, this guy's still a new comedian. He's still learning. Yeah. And we just throw him on the stage because he's a star, you know, and they book him on shows because I'm like, he needs time to really grow. Comedy doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, facts.
No, he had an issue with a comedian where the comedian was on stage and he was in the audience.
Okay.
And it was a female comedian, right?
I think, I remember that.
And she said some shit to him.
That was it.
And it was right after Will Smith. And he was spazzing, bro.
Okay, yeah.
Point where like everybody thought he was gonna rush the stage. But he's always in it, and his son too, right? Like isn't his son like a wild like dude on social media is always like, I'm getting into crazy shit right now that no one knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
someone out there.
T.I. is in his fame. Listening. I love your music, man.
Nah, T.I. is my homie. So hopefully we'll see what happens. But I'm ready to make Coney Montana happen, man.
Coney Montana. You ever go back to Africa?
I go home almost 4 times a year.
Oh, no way.
So I'm building a school in my village.
Sick.
Yeah. It's time to give back. You know, when I went back to Africa for the first time after being in America, it was 15 years. I was in America 15 years, and I decided I made a little bit of money. I said, let me go and visit my people. And then I'm hanging out in a little town where I grew up during school hours, and I'm seeing like 8-9-year-old kids out in the marketplace helping their mother sell food. Mm. I'm like, why are these motherfuckers not in school? Mm. And it's like, well, you know what happens is the government schools, which is considered public schools, when it fills up, all that's left is private schools. The kids can't afford private school. They don't go to school at all.
No school.
So I'm like, I got to do something about this. So, you know, 20 years later, I was able to like come up with some money and build a school.
Sick. Yeah. Sick, man.
So the school will be ready in September, and hopefully kids will start going in January. So I've been going back home.
That's amazing.
You don't have kids yourself?
Oh, yeah. I have kids. I have twin boys, and I have an older son.
Oh, nice. Same mom, different moms?
Oh, no, different mom, man. You know,
who's your favorite?
I'm black.
Wait, what?
We get them pregnant, we break up with them, then we marry somebody else.
I don't know. I mean, Elon Musk is doing a pretty good job, too. And
he's trying to populate Mars with his offspring.
He's like the.
Well, he's a Nick Cannon. I mean, Nick Cannon.
Oh,
guy,
Nick
like,
Cannon's Nick, going crazy
have,
right
Nick
now.
Has a baby every other week. Yeah.
You've been on Wildin' Out a bunch.
Yeah.
So, any insight on like what Nick's doing? And how
fucking
but at what point isn't he at
still
like,
this point right now he's fucking he just right, had
you know
a kid
what?
Last week
no way
yes yeah,
yeah. Is that number last nine week, or something
yeah
number nine
last
with
week
different, with different mothers
yeah
I think low-key I think people sleep on Nick Cannon dude he's,
they sleep
he's,
with he, Nick Cannon they sleep with Nick Cannon
he's a
bro.
Genius bro like he has like Wildin' Out 54 going out but like they still crush tickets people are still coming
the tour like fills up like basketball arenas.
Yeah,
I did LA with them. It was like 18,000 people.
They freshened it up. It's not like they're doing the same thing. They freshened it up, and he has other things he works on. That guy's like a workhorse.
Well,
that show was a hit, you know. And I know he almost had that cancel culture when they canceled him out, and they brought him back because they knew what he was capable of doing.
Cancel culture.
Wait, what did he do to try to get him canceled?
It's not.
It just ends. Like you can get canceled for a hot second.
Yeah,
like two a week.
I'm actually filming 3 new episodes next month.
Oh, cool. Wildin' Out?
Of Wildin' Out, yeah.
And they're starting to work with, I think, one of the smart things they did was starting to work with, like, social media people.
No, they've been doing that. They're smart.
But, I mean, like, they've been leaning into it lately a lot.
No, they've been doing that for, like, 10 years.
You want to get into it right now? You want to, like, all right, so name, go for it. Name the first 5 that they worked with.
Well, they wanted me on it, like,
oh, so they wanted to work with you? So that was the reason why you want to get into a fucking article?
No, because they were smart. I'm telling you, he was above the curve. Don't sleep on him,
above
bro.
Above what curve? That's not a word. Whoa. That's not a phrase.
Yeah, it is.
Being above a curve?
That's going to roast. They just want to, whenever they bring you on a show, they want to roast you. That's all. They just want to.
It's good because it makes me a better comedian.
That's not talking about
so when
you.
The front row hates me, I'm like, you can't hate me more than my own best friend.
That's what it did. When they brought me on the first season, I knew they just wanted to light my ass up. But then it got reversed. I ended up roasting all their asses. Mm. I mean, I lit them up every time.
I'm not
time.
Going at you. I would never. Well, dude, come on. That was stupid.
Do you plan your shit?
Sometimes, like when I'm doing a show and then I know in advance who I'm going to roast.
Yeah.
Like I can't rap. I can't rhyme, you know, so I might try to like get some help with like, I with rhyme, putting some rhyme together.
Oh, okay.
But as far as the jokes I'm up top of my head, but as far as rhyming, I find me a ghostwriter.
No
writer.
Way, that's surprising.
Yeah, I can't rap.
Ghostwriter.
Well, I mean, when did you, I mean, English wasn't your first language, right?
Yeah, like, English was.
Oh, was
yeah,
okay.
Ghana is an English-speaking country.
That's the second racist thing you've said on
this. Well, that's why I asked it as a question.
I'm so sorry about him.
No, I mean, I can't rap. Crack. I cannot rhyme for some reason. I never tried it. Just not my thing. My thing is looking at somebody and making fun of them. You know what I mean? I could look at this motherfucker.
Can you make fun of Dylan?
God, this guy looks like, who the fuck he looks like, man? Like,
people say a cat.
Nah, you're like, okay, you're like one of the goddamn Prince of England, a reject. like one of the rejected Prince of England. The one that, the one that kicked out the fucking castle, whatever the fuck.
Your royalty, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you like Prince Harry if he was homeless, motherfucker.
Yeah, not bad. You ever think about doing business endeavors?
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm just still waiting for the right one to come. You know, it has to be something I'm familiar with. You know what I mean? Or I think fashion would not be a bad idea. You know, maybe like clothing line or something.
Yeah. You know? Damn, though. It's clothing line, especially, so oversaturated. You just have such a niche, not niche, but you have a very strong audience, and you could do a lot with that.
So much.
You know what I'm saying? Like, is it a product? Is it like...
Yeah, I'm down, man. Let me know. If you guys got ideas, let me know. I'm always down with something.
What about a direct-to-consumer comedy special?
Like, definitely.
Like Schultz just did.
Yeah. A special is definitely one of the things on my leg. I got a special. I got a sitcom, you know, that I want to do. And, of course, Coney, Montana.
I love that.
But, you know, after talking to my team, you know, usually this is how a special works, okay? A comedian goes on the road for 3 years with the same material, and then after he's done with that, then he shoot that as a special. That's the routine, you know. But my team, I kind of like want to do something different. Film something I've never done. No material, you know, just not much going on top of my head, but like, you know, write some material and, you know, because my fan just been used to that crazy Michael Blackson. Let him get to know the real Michael Blackson. So I kind of want to do something different, which is like, write some material just for the special. Because usually a special is stuff you've been doing for 3-4 years.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why it's going to take me a little bit longer than I anticipated, because I'm not going to be doing something I've been doing that I already know works. You know, I mean, I've been telling jokes for 20-something years, and I've never done a special, so I could just go back and just think of all my funny old moments and put them together and just shoot it. But instead, I want to do something I've never done before.
Which is sick.
Would you ever get in the ring?
Yeah, you have the look, dude. You look hard.
Yeah, I just looks are deceiving, dog. I'm not. I can't. I press charges. I don't fight. You know what? The funny thing about it, when me and Kev was beefing, I would have went in the ring with him.
Oh no! Nice.
Because sometimes when you're angry, somebody angry at you and they're talking shit about you, you know, you don't care a fuck what's. And then I thought about it. I'm like, this guy lives in the gym, man.
Oh yeah,
he probably beat the shit out of me.
He also boxes as well.
Yeah, he boxes.
Like, had a fight.
You know, but he's also like 2 feet tall. So I mean, I'll go for the face. He probably gonna go for my balls. It's gonna be an ugly fight.
What do you think about these guys? Have you seen any of their stuff? Have you seen his stuff?
Did you fight Floyd or something?
Yeah.
Did he pay you to lose?
Nah,
what happened?
No, he didn't pay me.
Pay him at all.
He didn't pay me. I wish he'd pay me.
Oh, you didn't get paid at all?
I got paid a little bit.
Not like you should have
gotten paid. Not like I should have gotten paid. No, I'm missing. I'm out a few million.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was with your brother that snatched his hat or something. Who did that?
Yeah. So Jake took his hat.
Okay.
And then Jake is also a boxer, and he's had some pretty big.
So are you, is that your only loss was Floyd?
No, I didn't lose. It was an exhibition. So there's no loser.
There's no loser in an exhibition?
No.
So you both are winners? It's like a tie. It's like,
I mean, bro, I'm going to be honest with you.
It's
not
a good feeling. It's like tongue kissing your sister or something. Not a great feeling. Who said that? This fucking Eagles coach said that. Oh, he said, this tongue kissing your grandmother or your sister. It's not a great feeling. Yeah, I'm like, why? Who's kissing?
Oh, because they had that one tie.
You want that one tie?
Yeah,
that game?
I do remember
it's like, that. It's like kissing your sisters. Not
I,
like,
don't know, I don't know if it's like that. I don't know. No, because I don't know. I think I won that fight. I think I won.
What do Floyd think?
Bro, he didn't knock out a YouTuber in 8 rounds. That's
you think he was really trying to knock you out?
Yeah.
For real?
He guaranteed it. He guaranteed a knockout in our press conference. So, like, I don't know if there's a world where you can take away or takeaway from that fight that Floyd won. Like,
bro, yeah. Floyd's my homie. He's a cool dude.
Fucking tell him to pay me, bro.
How much you owe you?
Probably between 2 and 3.
Yeah. Mm.
You got it on you by any chance? Maybe you could just lend it out.
I have in Nigerian money.
2 to 3. I'll take it.
I'll give you 10 million in Nigerian money. That's about $1,100.
Do you ever miss where you come from? Like, do you love it here all the time? What is it that you like the most about America?
You know, since I've been going back often lately, yeah. Now that I'm successful and I have money. You know, I enjoy going because when I go home, it's like peace of mind. I'm not telling no jokes. I even got a crib out there and I'm like relaxing, eat my African food all day, every day, you know. But the money's here, so I got to come back and make money. You know what I mean? I'm using you guys for your money, man.
No, it's fine, bro.
Good, bro. Yeah. Good.
Do you ever look at your life and wonder how you got here?
Yeah, I do. I was just doing that. I just made this post the other day and I was... You know, in summer of 1989, I moved to Philadelphia from Newark, New Jersey. We came to the States, me and my mother, and my two younger sisters. We moved from, we lived in Newark, New Jersey, lived in people's basement. Then we lived in a shelter home. Mm. And then my mother had some other African friends that lived in Philly and said, hey, Philly's cheaper. You know, you guys come out there. So we came to Philly. This was summer of 89. And then, you know, she got this three-bedroom row house, $300 a month. I finally got my own room for the first time, you know. And then I got a job at Domino's Pizza. Nice. That was like my first job.
Nice.
Delivering pizzas on a bike. I was like 15, 16 years old, you know. And I just the other day, all this just came to me. And I'm sitting in my house. Actually, I was sitting in first class on a plane. I'm like, damn, I just started thinking about where I came from. Mm-hmm. From like no home to like homes everywhere almost, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, sometimes I do sit back and see God's blessing.
It's weird, no?
Yeah. It was a little weird, man, how things could, you know, change. And then I look back at some of the guys that I went to school with that are still like bums and not doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you guys live in the greatest country in the world. You could be anything you want to be if you put your mind to it. Mm. You know, even if I wasn't doing a stand-up comedy, I would have probably owned Domino's Pizza. You know, you could work at McDonald's and learn how to own McDonald's and still be a millionaire. You could be successful in anything. You could be a landscaper. Find out you can own your own landscaping company and be such, you just have to find out how you get to the top in everything you do.
It's true. It's true. It's really true, man.
If you're in America, there's no excuse.
I think, did we talk about this the other day? The one excuse that I think actually makes sense is by the time people realize that you can do anything, and like right now we're seeing it, we're really seeing people kind of just like snap their fingers. And again, because of the phone and the internet, they're making shit happen. Mm-hmm. But I think, for a lot of people, they feel like it might be too late, right? Mm. You have the family, you've made the commitment to the house that you just bought when working a job that you don't really love, when you always loved this hobby on the side, but it didn't seem like it could make you money or it could provide a means of success. And so I think people are afraid to unwire their lives to try the thing.
That's an excuse. Leave the family. Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's why when I went back to Africa, I chose to do a school because I'm more concerned about the new kids,
bingo,
the younger ones.
Bingo, I love
I'm
that.
I'm like, I can't do shit with these old motherfuckers. You are setting your own ways.
I mean, yeah, you just gotta. You can if we make the right statements to them, and that's why I think it's important that
we talk about old people, bro.
Yeah, I think that's.
He's like, whoa.
Hey, you leave my people alone. No, but I think it's important that the point that you were bringing up, which is just like, dude, it really is never too. I didn't make my first 100,000 until I was 33, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
when,
but
I,
you
was,
also
when
did,
I was
you also. Single, no kids.
No, no, no.
You mean 100,000
no,
a
no,
year
no.
or at one time?
No, in a
very
year,
young hearted.
In a year.
Very young hearted.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, like, dude, like, it's just really not too late, bro. It never is. There's ways to work around it. There's night schools. There's hustles. There's side hustles. There's put your kids to bed and go hit online, learn e-com. There's a million ways to fucking do it. Mm. And you know, on the contrary, it does take a lot of things to create this concoction that we call success.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, I was a hard worker.
Yeah.
Bro, there's a million people out there that work just as hard as you do, and they're never gonna fucking make it. Yeah. There's a bunch of things that need to come together. Timing, luck, network, hard work,
that's so true.
Execution, all that shit.
Hardship.
You gotta be chosen too, man. Being a celebrity, I think some stars are born. You can't try to be something.
Facts.
You know, some people try to be comedians. I'm like, if you wasn't born a comedian, you can't be a
no
comedian.
Shot. Yeah,
you know, so stars are born. I think it's possible God chose people to, you know, anything is possible. Some, you know, I mean, it's gonna be always be housekeepers, you know. If he's trying to make it, who's gonna be my housekeeper? You know, somebody.
Yeah, but just be a just run a housekeeping business. You know what I'm saying? Like yeah, you got to start there. You got to start as a housekeeper. You got to start as a garbage man, or you got to start at this or that. But by the give it 5-10 years and figure out how to turn that thing into a hustle.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I was just telling Mike at the gym. I was like, I because we roast each other a lot. Mm-hmm. We don't really like tell each other like our feelings because they don't allow me to do it that much. But I told Mike today, I was like, dude, I look up to you a lot. Like the way he handles business and gets shits together. Like I really just sit back and watch the way he conducts his things. And I understand, like Logan told me this like a few years ago, he's just watched the way he works. And I did. And like, I'm really proud of you, brother. For you to come from, like, you didn't have like a bad upbringing, but you had a little hole in your life where you kind of could have just sat there. But the way you pulled yourself from it was ridiculous.
He did drugs for 10 years. Hard drugs, heroin.
Oh, for real?
Wrote a book about it. Became a best-selling author.
Wow!
Made a life for himself. Is now a YouTuber. So something along those lines.
dude.
I mean,
Logan's backhanded comment.
That was funny.
out of nowhere. That was funny.
Nothing good comes overnight, man. You know, because I remember at one point in my career, like, you know, I did the my big break was Next Friday. Came out in 2000, and then I was hot for like 5 years, and then things just, you know, went down. You know, fell off, as you want to call it. So I try to come back to LA and try to like make things happen. Nothing happened. I went back home. And then when social media came out, boom, I jumped on it and then came back to life.
So crazy how that works.
Peaks and valleys.
Yeah,
baby.
Your career is full of ups and downs, crests and troughs, peaks and valleys, whatever you want to call them, waves.
And usually, no one, you never see it, but like until you get so accustomed to it being the fact of the matter, those troughs are always the most important times. Those times when you're down and you're fucking sitting in the basement, you're like, how the fuck am I gonna pay rent this month? Like, yo, like, or this has happened or that's happened. Those always end up looking back at those and being like, yo, thank God that happened to me. Because if that didn't happen to me, I never would have been where I am today. It just never would have happened.
Dan Cook actually said something that really registered with me. I've been thinking about it a lot. He goes, when people are at their down, they want to escape it as quick as possible. He goes, but collect as much data down there. Because you learn a lot. And I was like, oh, fuck. I never really thought about it that way.
Yep.
You ever have a moment where shit was dark?
Don't say dark around me. I've been dark my whole life. No more dark jokes. Dog.
Oh man.
I was born in the dark. I was born at midnight. Okay. Go ahead. What happened?
You ever have a moment
where things weren't going so well?
Things looked not so bright.
You did it again. You guys are too white for these jokes, man. I'm telling you, bro.
No.
Nah, I give him permission. It's okay.
Just like where shit looked bleak. You looked around and you're like, damn, I got bills to pay. Like I fell off, whatever the fuck that means, right? Like
it was a long, long time ago. I remember when I started Domino's at 15 years old. Mm. Answering phones, delivering pizzas, learning the store, becoming a manager. I was running the store at about 20 years old. I was running the store, hiring and firing. And that's when stand-up started. I started doing stand-up. And then I remember I took stand-up a little bit more serious. And never get rid of your day job till you're ready. You know, so I was I left to come to New York. I was in Philly. Came to New York to do some show. Mm. My assistant manager did not show up to work. And it happened to be the day that the managers, the owners of Domino's, happened to go into the store that day. Nobody that ran the store, I got fired. It wasn't a corporate store. It was a franchise. They could do whatever they want to do. Terminated me. I was making big $20,000 a year back then. This is like 1995, something like that. Making like 20 grand a year. That's I lost my $20,000 a year job. You know, had to, my car got repossessed, had to leave my apartment, move back to my mother, you know, spending my little savings that I had saved up, down to my last $1,500. I took and bought a car so I could use this car and try to find another job. Yeah. Car cost me $1,300. I'm down to $200. Alternator go bad on the car. You know, I'm like, ah, fuck. I remember going to Pep Boys. Back then, it was like, right before my credit started getting bad, you know, so I had good credit at that moment. It was still alive a little bit. Mm. You know, I wrote a check. I know I didn't have the money for the fucking thing. I wrote a check for alternator. you know, took the alternator to somebody else to put it in because Pep Boys wanted like $124 to put it in. So I went to this private mechanic to put it in. And then when they put it in, they have to give you the old one back. And the old one's kind of like a, you get a little refund back at Pep Boys for it. This was a Ford Taurus, 1989 Ford Taurus, what I had at that moment. So I remember, and then and the guy put the alternator in. I'm like, I ain't got money to pay this motherfucker. I found a way to get in the car and drive off.
Oh, shit.
Drove off with the car. Took the old shit back to Pep Boys, got a little bit of money back, and then it bounced, and the check bounced. I got all my shit done for free.
Oh, damn.
You know what I mean? I was just thinking about that the other day. Yeah. Like, goddamn, I was down to nothing.
Yeah.
And to be where I am today is like, you know, God, it was crazy. Crazy. And I remember my car, I had my car that got repossessed was a 1991 Hyundai Excel. I remember I just lost a job at Domino's. I'm working a temporary job at Rico. Rico is like the old Home Depot, you know what I mean? It was a store called Rico's where you guys, way before your time, your father knows about Rico. So I remember working there like overnight as a temporary job. All of a sudden I look outside, my car is gone. And I'm like, I'm calling the police. I think somebody stole my car. They said, no, your car got repossessed, motherfucker.
Oh, shit.
But I knew it was coming somehow, somewhere, you know? Yeah, it was. And then since then, I think I went down in life twice. So I remember all of that happening. I remember working my way back up. You know, I end up like doing some show on HBO called HBO Snaps. It was like roasting people, you know, it's like a mama joke show. It had like Monique and Ricky Smalley and, you know, Tracy Morgan was on that. This is like 1995, 96, something like that. So I, you know, I remember probably making a couple of, you know, maybe $1,000, $1,500 from that. And I was slowly coming back. And then the best thing that happened to me after that, where I got a job for the airlines. I got an airline job, which was cool because I get to fly for free. So now I'm gonna fly out to a town to do a show. I'm like, hey, put me on a show, man. You don't gotta fly me in. I'll get myself there. Just get my little $300.
Yep.
And I started building myself back up and got all the way back up. And I was able to buy my first house at like $82,500 in Philly. Yeah. Had like a $500 mortgage. You know, and then went from that and like saved up like $200,000. Just and that because in between that, the movie Next Friday came out, and then I was making $2,500 and saving all my money. And I worked my way back up. And then boom, then I said, okay, it's time to move up to like something bigger. Then I went, got my first big house. I built it in Delaware in 2008.
Why Delaware?
Because it's right outside of Philly.
Okay.
So when you build, when you kind of like make it in Philly, you're either gonna build a house in Jersey, suburban Pennsylvania, or like Delaware.
Got it.
Jersey, Pennsylvania, the tax on a $500,000 house like almost $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck that. You mean after I pay this house up, I gotta give motherfuckers $20,000 every year?
Yeah.
Delaware is a no tax state.
Yep.
So you just pay like a school tax of like $3,000, $4,000. That's why I chose Delaware. And then I worked my way back up. Got that house, and then boom, the economy got fucked up in 2008.
It was right around then.
2000, and I had to like, you know, my $200,000 window down to like $15,000, and I had to work my way back up when social media came out. And now, fuck that, there's no going back now. I'm where now I could never, not unless I start smoking crack every day and gambling every fucking day, there is no way I could be going back down.
Hard cut.
Him and Mike, dude, I'm telling you, this shit's real nice, bro.
So, Kim, yeah, man, I had the moments, man, when I'm like, well, how am I gonna pay for this alternator to get put in?
Yeah,
I'm just gonna drive off.
Steal that shit. What about on the flip side? What's the best thing that's ever happened in your life? Whole fucking life, dude. Number one.
Ah, man. I don't like talking too much about money, man, because I got a baby mother that's. Yeah, I'm still on child support. She'll record like, that shit. Oh, yeah. She'll take like, a tape.
47 alternators.
She would take this recording to the judge. Like, I got like 2.5 years left of child support.
Damn. All
right. She take everything. I can't even. Why do in you 2.5 years, I'm going to come and tell you guys how successful I am.
No, say something sweet, like the birth of like one of your children.
Oh, something nice. All right. That's sweet. Let me see. Shit, them kids are costing me money, so let me see.
Fuck them.
He's like, I wanted to put that in the worst things that happened to
you. You know what? What was really, the best feeling was, you know, going back to the village where I came from when I had nothing, And now, like, the whole country's looking up to me because I'm building a school. You know, so that gave me a good feeling, man.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
You like giving back?
Giving back, yeah. Man. And I think that's what makes America so great. Americans are very giving people. You know, a lot of these third world countries, you know, they're selfish and just care about themselves. And they wonder why they never make it. You know, and America, one thing would make this country great, you guys give. You know what I'm saying?
Some people.
And nah, you know, I'm saying, you know, overall, a country rise.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why America is, at the end of the day, it might not be the richest country, but it's the greatest country. Freedom and peace of mind and this and that. I mean, you know, there's still some rules, you know, whatever. But
I was going to ask, your take is really interesting because you can definitely acknowledge and do acknowledge America for what it's done for your life and what it can do for people who are coming to this country. Yeah. But the state of America right now is a little wishy-washy.
It's still better than a lot of other places, you know. And I mean, it is what it is, man. You know, I mean, everybody got a problem with Trump, got a problem with Biden. Everybody got a problem with everybody. You can, you know, I mean, go to another fucking country and you're like, you know what, I'm going back to America. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, it's not that bad.
I mean, look at Russia, what's happened with Grindr. It's insane, dude. It's like,
I mean,
dude,
for vapes, man. Luckily, she didn't have fucking cocaine. Can you imagine what the dude would probably
she'd be in jail forever.
Or worse.
But it does also bring attention back to the situation here, because we got a lot of people in jail for weed here right now. A lot of people.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Dude, we got people doing life. I thought when
they made weed legal, they released all these people out of jail.
No, didn't happen.
I don't know how they don't, though.
I know.
Are they planning on taking it?
Are they going to let them out?
They have to.
There's been some stuff happening. I think they've been like reexamining certain cases. And like, dude, you've got a lot of, you know, like, make no mistake, our prison system targets socioeconomic people in poor socioeconomic and is slightly racial, you know, system, right? And so, but there are a lot of people that are cases starting to be reexamined, and people are starting to get left out who had like life sentences for like a $10 bag of weed. You know, it'll have been like maybe their third strike or second strike, and they had done something like before it. But like then they got caught with a 20 bag of weed and they're in jail in Louisiana for life. And Kim Kardashian's actually been doing a lot of work on working with those kind of people and having those cases reexamined, which is cool.
Do you think they're gonna smoke weed if they ever come out, or are they gonna be like traumatized from that? Because it's legal now. Are they like,
gotta be careful. Like, we leave America, man. You gotta be careful where you going, what you have on you. Period.
That's the biggest thing.
We gotta pay attention. We're not invisible. We're not, you know. They don't give a fuck in them other countries about what you being a brat or you doing whatever you want to do. I mean, Thailand, this movie, you guys saw, what's it called, Broke Down Palace?
Yeah, of course. She goes to jail she gets life.
Life.
Well, they muled her, right? Like, it wasn't even her, wasn't her shit, right?
Yeah, like
But that happens. It's crazy, dude. You got to realize that, and this is just another testament to the quality of America. It's like, you go to some of these countries, and you go in thinking to yourself, like, no, I have rights. No, you don't. You have America. No right. Like, yo, you go to Russia, your rights are gone. Your rights don't exist. You go to China, your rights don't exist, homie. Like, you don't have rights.
And it's not like those other countries. I mean, in my continent, you just pay your way through everything.
Yeah, bribe countries.
A lot of people don't like Americans because they think that they could just do whatever they want. Like, I know, like, in Singapore, you can't even chew gum. I think it's like a $250,000
fine. Or maybe you can drop it, you can split it. Yeah.
$250,000.
No, I think you cannot bring gum into their border.
So there's no gum in the country?
No. You can't buy
it. You sure you want to lay in that bed right now? I just want to make sure you're pot. You want to do that because Singaporeans.
No, I want to run with it. You cannot.
I heard something like that.
We need a segment.
Chewing gum is banned in Singapore under the regulation of imports and exports.
Georgie, yes, he got
wild. While the table is not stable, brother.
My guy got
what kind of show is this? You guys got me on.
He's the new guy.
A male twerker. He just twerked.
Damn, no gum in Singapore?
I don't know what that was. Yeah.
He twerked to you guys, not to me.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't point that thing at you.
That's it, bro. Sorry about the ending there.
I'm traumatized now, man. This is the only thing I remember from your show, a fucking guy twerking.
You fucking ruined it, George.
An Iraqi guy twerking in my face.
What do you have coming up? What should they?
I'm on tour. I'm a new tour this fall that comes out called We Outside Tour, starring me and Tony Rock, Corey Holcomb. You got Bill Bellamy.
Will Coney Montana be there?
Coney Montana. That's right, man. Selling illegal booty shots, man.
Fantastic.
Right. And then I'm working on Coney Montana, man. Maybe you do a cameo in there. Would you want to?
I'd love to. That'd be fun. That'd be fun. Yeah. Give me something good.
I'll give you something good.
Give me something good.
I'll figure something really good for you to
quick,
do.
Quick, though. Like a quick ceiling.
Oh, yeah. You get your shot right away.
Come for a day.
You want me to definitely die. I'm kidding.
Light me up. Light me the fuck up.
Coney Montana, man. I got you.
Amazing, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Blackson. Thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. Hit that subscribe button. We love you. We will see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.